Arvo's with Tim Shiel
on Double J.
We've been playing a track here at Double J called Human Condition, which I'm going to play again for you in a second. And it's from the new EP by Anna Smirk. And I thought, you know, we've been playing this song heaps. It's about time that we get to know Anna a bit better. So she joins me on Double J today. Anna Smirk with a Y. I just assume that that's how you say your name to people, Anna.
Exactly right. You got it. And I always have to say Smirk with a Y, just so people know.
Wait, is that a stage name or your real name, Smirk with
no,
a Y?
No, it's my real name. Yeah, that's my family name.
What part of the world is that name from, Smirk?
Well, we're all actually a little bit stumped by it, to be honest, because, right. You know, my family on my dad's side is from England, like as far back as we know. So we're not really sure how we ended up with such a weird spelling.
There's no vowels in your surname, Anna.
No vowels.
It's incredible. well, we're not really here to talk about that. We're here to meet you. And we're going to talk a little bit about your music and also about your day job, which I find fascinating. But if we can, because it's your first time here, can we go like way back to the start? Where did you grow up and where did the kind of love of music start for you?
I grew up in a small town called Gisborne, which is kind of outside of Melbourne. And I don't know, music's always been a big part of my life. You know, there was always a lot of music around the house. My dad played in bands when I was growing up, so there was always instruments around. My first instrument was the violin. Ooh. I really got obsessed with the idea of playing the violin for some reason that I don't think I'd ever seen a violin or maybe not even ever heard one.
Wow.
But I got really obsessed with wanting to learn and bugged my parents until they got me a little half-size violin and off I went.
Wow. Because I feel like a lot of kids, and I may be wrong here, but I feel like a lot of kids sort of they get funneled into the violin and then they do it for a while and at some point they decide they love it or maybe they kind of don't love it. But you with the other flip side, you were like, please get me a violin.
Yeah, I was that weirdo kid obsessed with the violin for some reason.
Do you still have that little kid's violin?
I do, yeah. I still have the tiny little one. You know, I have a bigger one obviously now too because the little one is too small for me, but I've kept it for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah. And what kind of bands was your dad in? Mr. Smirk, if I may say.
Mr. Smirk, Lindsay. Yeah.
Lindsay Smirk. What a name. Oh, my God. Lindsay Smirk.
Shout out to Lindsay.
Shouts to Lindsay Smirk.
He plays bass in kind of like 60s and 70s rock and roll cover bands.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good grounding in music and having it around the house. And so at what point did you sort of like flip from violin to the, I guess, you know, the instrumentation and the kind of songwriting that's on your new EP and that you've been exploring as an artist the last handful of years?
Yeah, so I picked up the guitar and kind of started teaching myself to play when I was a teenager, and that's when I started writing songs. But the direction I'm heading in now is a bit of a change. You know, I put out a couple of EPs previously that were much more of a kind of acoustic-y, folky feel. And it's just this latest EP that I've really tried to change things up a bit and kind of go in a bit more of this indie pop rock kind of vibe. And yeah, I guess, you know, I was just ready for a bit of a change. We found ourselves in the middle of a pandemic and I think I was feeling a little bit restless and wanted to shake things up a bit. So decided to try something pretty different.
Well, yeah, it is a kind of like a more forceful kind of pop sound coming through on these new tracks. And how much of that has got to do with hooking up with Joel Quatermain to work on these tracks? Joel, which a lot of our audience would know Joel as a member of Eskimo Joe, but in more recent years, he's really become a pretty... a really amazing record producer working with artists to help them get their vision and get their songs out. What was it like working with Joel on these tracks?
Yeah, it was so great working with Joel. Like I really had loved his production work on a bunch of the records that he's worked on. So that's why I wanted to work with him on this. And I think, you know, it's really helped me to find that sound that I was really looking for. You know, he had lots of amazing ideas and he plays a lot on the record as well. So, you know, I felt like I was sort of heading in this new direction that was kind of like uncharted territory for me, but he's like so experienced in that world that, you know, I had a very good guide leading the way.
That's a really nice way of putting it. That's often the role of the producer, is to kind of, you sort of know where you want to go, but you just need help getting there. And that producer becomes a guide to kind of just nudge you in the right direction. And Joel's obviously helped you, because you, wherever you wanted to go, you've gotten there with these songs, I reckon. Even just on the title alone, The Human Condition, Anna, like, it's obvious that your songwriting is, you know, it's deep, but on the surface it is like anthemic, kind of really accessible pop music, you know, and you've obviously found a way to reach that sound. But there's more going on in your songs, Anna, I assume, unless you want to tell me that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I hope so. I hope there's more going on. Yeah, no, I think... lyrics are super important to me. Like, I spend a lot of time working on the lyrics of my songs, and I guess, you know, Human Condition is a bit of a deep one. I wrote it in the middle of one of the lockdowns, I think the second lockdown in Melbourne last year, and I guess it's just, you know, it's a song I was thinking a lot about connection, and you know how in lockdown we were really getting the sense, a lot of people, that we really need that connection. Like, it's so important for our health and our well-being. And I was just thinking about, you know, even in normal times, it's actually really hard to find that kind of connection. Like, our society is kind of not really built for community. It really prioritizes, you know, individual kind of wealth. And so that's kind of what that song is about, a little bit of a explosion of frustration about, you know, how disjointed we all are.
Yeah, and I guess you've got to hope after the last 18 months that maybe as a race or as a people, that we can start to think critically about those techniques or methods or things in our lives that have led to that loneliness and that disconnection that so many people feel without even necessarily being conscious of it. And you're right, like, that was a problem, I think, for many people before the pandemic came along. Anna, I got to ask you about your day job, if you don't mind. It's not like... I don't want to like bust open your secret life or anything, but you know, most musicians have day jobs, right, Anna? Like, it can be a bit of a myth sometimes that musicians don't have day jobs. Most do, but few musicians have day jobs as interesting as yours. So you are involved in international public health, and you spend a lot of time traveling around the world. You've lived in places like the Solomon Islands and Cambodia. How did you get into that field, and you know, what is it you sort of spend your time doing?
Yeah, so I work in the communications space in public health. So, you know, trying to make sure that people in different parts of the world have access to the information that they need to, like, make good decisions about their health. And I kind of got into it by accident a little bit. I was, you know, I studied anthropology and political science and languages at uni. And so I always, like, had an interest in working kind of cross-culturally and working in nonprofits. After I finished uni, I was kind of looking around for work. I really wanted to be working overseas, and was just like kind of cold calling a bunch of organizations, and found this one I really loved in Cambodia that works with the arts as a development kind of tool. And I just sent them an email and got one back the next day saying, yeah, we'd love to come have you work for us. Can you start next week? I did. Just packed up my life and went over there and ended up doing comms work for that organization. And that's kind of how I got started in that space. And yeah, it just kind of rolled on from there. So it was a bit of an accident, but a pretty happy one.
Yeah. And I guess you got into that and got into that field, international public health, a few years before we would have, you know, the largest international public health crisis of 100 years. So I imagine outside of your music, which sounds like you've been working pretty hard on, I imagine you're pretty busy with your day job as well. I know you've recently spent some time in Papua New Guinea working over there with the vaccine rollout. Does having these experiences in different countries, different cultures. Does it reflect back into your songwriting and your work as an artist, or does it change like what your priorities are as a musician, for example?
Yeah, I think it has a really big influence on my music. You know, directly in some ways, I think a lot of my songs are about travel and long distance relationships because I spend so much time away from friends and family and loved ones. But also kind of indirectly as well, I think it has a big influence because I always find that it's when I'm away that I, you know, my creative output is the greatest. I don't know why that is, because usually when I'm away, it's because I'm working and I'm working a lot and it's quite intense. But for some reason, that's when I have the most energy for writing. So a lot, you know, I think it's because I'm outside of my comfort zone. I'm seeing new things and meeting new people, and there's lots of ideas kind of rolling around in my brain, and they have to come out somewhere, and they come out in songs. So I think it kind of works pretty well for me having this double life, because I think it's when I'm away working that, you know, the ideas kind of come that I put back into the music.
And does it kind of change your goals or your what you hope to get out of being an artist? Because that can be a minefield in itself for a lot of artists, is where do you want to go with it? What do you want to achieve? What do you want to happen for you? Working in a space where a lot of what you're doing is working for the greater good, for want of a less cliched term, does that filter back into, you know, the next 10, 20 years for Anna Smirk, the artist?
Yeah, I think it does, because like you said, a lot of artists have a day job, and I think a lot of artists, you know, their goal is to eventually get to a point where they can quit their day job. But for me, that's not really the case. You know, I think I'll probably always do these two different kinds of work. And because I really care about them both, you know, I've got more than one interest and I like using different parts of my brain. And also, you know, both areas of work that I do are really quite intense, and people burn out quite easily doing both, you know, trying to have a music career as well as working internationally in this space. So I sort of feel like it's a way to make both things a little bit more sustainable. You know, I can put one thing down for a little bit and pick the other one up. It gives me a little bit of a breather. So in terms of kind of like long-term plans, I feel like I can see it working, this juggle kind of working into the future.
Well, the new EP from Anna Smirk is called The Hour Between Us. That's Smirk with a Y. Shout out again to Lindsay Smirk, who's probably, is your dad listening? If you're not, I'm sure he'll
definitely
listen.
Definitely, yeah, he'll be listening.
Thank you, Lindsay, new Double J listener. But congratulations on the music, and I guess thank you for sharing the music with us, and also thank you for your work in public health. You know, I don't want to be trite about it, but the last 18 months I think has made a lot of people appreciative and grateful for the work that doctors and nurses, but also anyone who's working in the health space, do inside the pandemic and outside of it. So thank you for that, Anna. I'm going to play you, not just you, Anna, I'm going to play everyone.
Everyone track. Can listen if they want.
I'm going to play a track called called The Excavator. And, looking forward to having you back on Double J for another chat sometime.
Thanks, Steve, for having me. You'll never find what you're looking for.
In a way, that was the strength of the music, because of that, there was no borders and we could go to China, we could go to Japan,
Double J,
like any place, and people can still relate to the music.
Music makes you.